It's been said that people are a lot like tea bags. You never know their real strength until you put them in hot water. Fresh from the high moments of his baptism, Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he's tested by the devil. Let me be perfectly honest and completely real. The journey of discipleship is not a casual walk in the park. It is survival in the war zone with the evil one. And happy is the one who, having been tempted and tried, finds the grace and strength of God to carry on. Temptations are real, but they're not unique. They follow the same themes since the beginning of time. And no temptation is knocking at your door today that has not knocked at other people's doors and other times and places, including the door of your brother and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we come to the temptations of Jesus in the desert today, hoping that we will find ways to withstand the evil one. The temptations that Jesus faced are these: intensified desire, the will to power, the claim to fame. You may want to follow it. We're going to take it almost verse by verse from the gospel lesson today. After 40 days of a spiritual fast, the devil says to a hungry Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Hunger. Real hunger. Why wait when you have the power to take? Why not meet intensified desire with instant gratification? Is this not the American way? Sociologists observe young people have problems with just saying no to drugs and waiting for sex because they have been raised in a culture where no does not exist. Jay Mantel in the Rolling Stone magazine says, "Everything is a flash in the pan." So why not get the most out of your flash? Of course, instant gratification is not reserved for the young. An office manager vowed on Ash Wednesday that she was going to stay off the sweet stuff for the Lenten season. Of course, the following Friday, she brought in this wonderful coffee cake to the office. The explanation went something like this: "I was sitting at the stoplight when I saw it in the window of the bakery. And I said to the Lord, 'Lord, if you don't want me to buy that coffee cake, then don't let there be a parking place in front of the bakery.' I knew that the Lord wanted me to have it because on the third time around the block, I found a parking place." Max is 30 years old, a good guy, sitting in a hotel room on business. Well, let him tell the rest of the story. Away from people who know me, away from a family that love me, the endless chorus of voices come again and again. There's a lounge in the lobby where I can make new friends. There are late night adult movies where my fantasies will be fulfilled. There's a telephone book full of escort services where I can find instant love. Voices, voices, all promising acceptance and tenderness and comfort and a quick cure for loneliness. From age to age, the temptations are the same. And all who are tempted today to take some shortcuts on the road of life, let me ask you to hear another voice. A voice of none other than Jesus himself, who said, "You do not live by bread alone, or by drink alone, or by sex alone. There's more to life than instant gratification." From age to age, the temptations are the same. The will to power, verse 5. "So the devil led him unto a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all authority and splendor if you will simply worship me.'" I think one of the most powerful movies I've seen in the last 10 years is Al Pacino in Devil's Advocate. In it, Al Pacino plays the devil disguised as a powerful lawyer trying to get a young Southern sensational attorney to join his firm. And walking around on the rooftop of his Manhattan office around his swimming pool that is there, Pacino says to this would-be successful and powerful attorney, "Just look around you. The 20th century has been all mine. Attorneys are forming my new priesthood. Vanity is my favorite vice. The success are the most susceptible to me. Take it. It's yours." As the German philosopher Nietzsche said, basic to human personality is the will to power. How do you define success? What is making it for you? Is success winning at all cost? Is it manipulating the circumstances to your control? Is it having people to boss around? Is it really true that he who has the most toys when he dies wins? Or does he just have a bigger junk pile? Success. How do you define success, said Ralph Waldo Emerson, is to laugh often and much, to win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children, to earn appreciation of honest critics, and endure the betrayal of false friends. Success, said Emerson, is to appreciate beauty and to find the best in others, to leave the world a bit better, to whether it be a healthy child or redeemed society, social condition, or a job well done. This is success, said the poet. Power corrupts. And absolute power absolutely corrupts. And that has been true of the history of the church. If you don't believe me, read church history from age to age. The temptations are the same. Intensified desire, the will to power. And one more in Jesus' trilogy of temptations, the claim to fame. Verse 9. "And the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down and let the angels come care for you.'" Had Jesus been tempted in our time, he would have certainly been offered a national TV appearance. Something about us that makes people on television instant celebrities. In fact, it is so profound in our day that it's really difficult to know the difference between a hero and a celebrity. But I want to tell you, there's a big difference between the two. Our world is full of celebrities. but it's starving for heroes. You know? Heroes have great achievements, but celebrities have great images. A hero is a big person. A celebrity is a big name. A hero lives for service. A celebrity lives for show. A hero lifts cultural standards. A celebrity often lowers cultural norms. Some of the writers in Jesus' time of the apocryphal gospels tried to make Jesus into a celebrity. Those writings didn't make our Bible. In those writings, the child Jesus made clay pigeons come to life and just to fly off into the sky. In those writings, Jesus could take a dead fish and put it in the water as a kid, and it would suddenly take life and go its own way. In those writings, Jesus turned playmates into goats to teach them a lesson and made people go blind and deaf so he could have the power to heal them in a moment. But I remind you today that Jesus is no comic book character, nor is he a Las Vegas magic show. He's the Son of God, the crucified one, the servant of us all. And sooner or later in life, you will choose, will you be a star or a servant? And it is in that moment that temptation will be knocking, knocking at your door. Careful how you answer. From age to age, temptations are the same. But if the temptations are constant, then I raise another question with you this morning. Are not the means of resistance consistent? If it's really the same thing coming out generation after generation, century after century, then could we not learn from the temptations of Jesus some ways to withstand the test of the evil one? If you haven't run into the evil one, you hang on a while. You'll meet him face to face one day. And Jesus gives us some wonderful examples in this narrative that is in all of the Gospels about how to deal with Satan himself. Let me mention a few in our time together this morning. Remember who you are. Did you catch that big little word in this text? Listen to the words of the devil himself. If you are the Son of God, then tell this stone to become bread. If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down from here. Surely Jesus wanted to show the devil a thing or two. Remember who you're talking to. I could do any of these things. But Jesus refuses to use his power to prove his worth. Let me say that again. Jesus refuses to use his power to prove his worth. Let me tell you, my friends, you don't have anything to prove to the world. You are already a loved child of God. You are already baptized in the name of Jesus Christ himself. Don't ever forget who you are. How was it Kipling put it? If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowances for their doubting too, if you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue or walk with kings nor lose the common touch. If neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and all that's in it, but what is more, you'll be a man. My son, you a child of God. You've been bought with a price. Don't sink into sin or lapse into shame when you fail. You've already been redeemed. You've already been forgiven. Christ himself has bought you today. Remember who you are. When the devil looks you in the eye, and you struggle to survive, remember who you are. Don't ever forget it. Something else, my friends. Remember, you're not alone. Do you get that little phrase in this passage of Scripture? After his baptism, Jesus is led into the wilderness by the Spirit, it says. Now, I would have written it differently. I would have put this beautiful scene of baptism all out there, and I would have had it as wonderful as a Sunday morning worship at Brentwood Church, and I would have had the Spirit moving everywhere, and then I would have had Jesus going all out by himself into the wilderness to get through the desert alone. That's not what the Bible says. Read it for yourself. The Spirit is there in the wilderness. How is it that the psalmist put it in that wonderful 139th psalm? Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're going to be there too. Jesus said, consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. If your Father cares for them, think how much more he cares for you. The writer of Hebrews said, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who's been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Don't ever forget it. You are not alone in your struggles. The Holy Spirit himself will go to hell and back for you. You're not alone. There's another side to this company. Other people are counting on you. When you're out in the wilderness, in the desert, facing the evil one, there are other people who are counting on you. Nobody lives alone. Nobody sins alone. Bill Clinton would have done well to have remembered that he had a family and that he had a nation to lead. 17.3 million people watched Temptation Island on Fox Network last week. Temptation Island has proven to be compelling television, announces the producer as they plan a second series. Titillation has always been compelling. But I ask you today, does Fox Television have any responsibility for the moral standards of America? We are not alone. We don't live alone. We don't sin alone. We don't fall alone. There are people who are counting on you. There are people who are depending on you. Generation after generation is counting on you to leave the world a better place than you found it. And when you're in the desert, remember, you're not alone. One more thing. When you're in the desert, take your spiritual disciplines with you. And Jesus said, it's all here. And Jesus said, it's written. Man does not live by bread alone. And Jesus said, it's written, worship the Lord your God alone. And Jesus says, it's written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Mark 4:18 says, watch and pray so that you don't fall into temptation. Gertrude Behanna was raised in New York among the most elite half a century ago. After 50 years of life, 3 husbands and 2 divorces, and an addiction to drugs and alcohol, and a drunken stupor one night, she tried to commit suicide. But in her desperate state, she called out to God, and God heard her prayer. And the Spirit hovered over her chaos of life. And in loving kindness, Jesus came to her. And when the intensity subsided of the spiritual experience, she called her book agent and said, "So send me a Holy Bible." "My God, what's happened to you?" said her book agent. "My God has happened to me," said Gert Behanna. "I've got to make some sort of sense out of what I've just experienced. Send me the book. I need to read it." And you want to be equipped, and I'm going to talk more about this in a couple of weeks, but you want to be equipped in the desert, that at least take along with you the scriptures and your ability to pray. The exact things that Jesus used to get through the desert. Life is not about surviving. It's about abiding. And St. Augustine was right. We cannot keep the bird of temptations from flying over our heads, but we can keep them from building nests in our hair. And therein lies the challenge of discipleship. Amen.